Today's podcast is brought to you by audibletrial.com/cascadehikerpodcast. You get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/cascadehikerpodcast. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from on your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Like I always say, however you're listening to this, right here. Cascade Hiker Podcast listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial because they want to give you the opportunity to check out their services. I want to recommend Coyote America by Dan Flores. This is a book all about the history of coyotes in America and actually how to say coyote correctly. Well, anyway, it's one of those things where if you're just kind of out in nature and you just like animals, it's really cool to dive into one subject just like this, all about coyotes. And it actually talks about how they try to eradicate the coyote and how that just isn't possible genetically with them. And it's really cool, scientific book. But it's also really worth the read. So anyway, so to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/cascadehikerpodcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/cascadehikerpodcast for your free audiobook and 30-day free trial. This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos, never held your hand.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? Are you sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. All right, next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
Hi, my name is Dave Colburn, and I'm from Anacortes, Washington, and I work with Predators of the Heart.
Okay, well, before we dive into some questions, why don't you kind of describe a little bit what Predators of the Heart is?
Predators of the Heart is kind of a multifaceted agency, and we work with animals and kids. That's our passion, is animals and kids. So we have wolves, we have 5 cougars, we have a number of reptiles and other animals out here in our compound in Anacortes. We're not open to the public, so it's a private place where they stay when they come home from working in the fairs and doing community events.
Now, we can kind of hear the wolves right now. I don't know if that's picking up on the mics, but how often do they do that out here?
The wolves will howl like probably 3 or 4 times a day for a duration of about a minute and a half each time. So they're not really loud, and it's kind of a soothing sound. I think it's cool.
It's a really cool setting for an interview, too. I mean, and we got some other birds making some noises and stuff. And well, I really wanted to dive in and talk to you. I think one of the biggest fears of hikers in Washington State, especially, is wildlife out there that they aren't familiar with. And you have cougars here, you have wolves here, you have bobcat, lynx.
Yes, yes.
And what would you say to hikers that are scared of those in the wild?
Well, I would say that if you're scared of, there's no real reason to be afraid of wolves because it's so shy and timid. And as far as the big cats, a lot of times they'll just leave you alone. The incidence of cougars ever attacking and killing someone in North America are practically zero. I mean, it's maybe 10, 15 people in the last 100 years. It's very minimal. And so if I had kids and a cougar in the neighborhood and the kids were small, then I may be worried. But just as far as like people hiking, I don't think there's a whole lot to be worried about. The, you know, basic rules, if you ever see something like that, just make yourself look big and yell no. And, you know, put your hands up and yell no. And that's the most important thing when you run into a cougar. I mean, because they're so fast, they can run 35 miles an hour. They're one of the fastest land mammal predators in North America. So, you know, it's America's great cat, and they're so strong. They can jump as much as 40 feet straight out. They can jump off a 60-foot cliff. They can kill a moose and drag it up a hill. They're stronger than a lion or a tiger pound for pound. They got huge claws and huge teeth. And their whole thing is cats are pretty lazy to, you know, for the most part. So just make yourself look big and yell no. Now, there's only one time when you'd ever want to run from a cougar, and that's if you're with a friend of yours. It's a little bit slower than you. Just joking about that, of course.
Oh, man.
Don't run. Don't ever run. That's a bad thing.
Now, what about like, people might also be scared of maybe a bobcat?
Bobcats, oh, my gosh. There's no reason to ever be afraid of a bobcat unless you've got it up a tree or in a corner and you're trying to pick it up. You know, as long as people leave things alone, they're practically in no danger. Like even all of our rattlesnakes that we have, you know, and those animals. If you just leave them alone and just step back and watch them, you'll be amazed how wonderful nature is. Just don't fool around with it. And if you don't fool around, you're not going to get hurt.
Well, I know that is sort of an issue in Washington on the east side of the mountains. What do you recommend people do when they see a rattlesnake? And like, say they're coming down the trail and it's in the middle of the trail.
You know what I would say? I would say just walk around it or just wait a few minutes and it'll crawl off the path. Now, one of the guys that has worked with me, he likes to go like cruise streets in eastern Washington, and he's got his favorites over there that I could tell you where they were, but I don't want to ruin his spots. But in one night, he has collected over 25 rattlesnakes, and he does it for fun, and he doesn't keep them. He just catches them and release. But his record is over 25 right now in one night. So, yeah, when you get over to eastern Washington, there are rattlesnakes. They're smaller, the northern Pacific rattlers, and they can really give you a toxic bite. But very few people will ever die from rattlesnake bites anymore in the United States.
Okay, yeah, that's good info. Well, I pulled a bunch of my listeners trying to find out, you know, maybe they might have some questions for you. And Stephanie Lynn, she actually runs Skagit Kid Insider. She was wondering about the cougars near the house, but she also wondered, what about, are cougars known to attack? Like you said, they might, but are they known to?
No, they're not really known to go after people like that. But the thing about any predator is, like, anything smaller than them or little is food. And even if, like, you're like a handicapped person and you're limping or you fall down, then all bets are off, because they have a switch in their mind that goes from playing to prey really quick. So if I had small kids and I knew there was a cougar in the area, I would just keep my kids indoors. I would be outdoors with them.
Yeah, that's a good answer. Well, Jeff Kish with the PNTA, the Pacific Northwest Trail Association, that runs from Montana to our coast, goes all the way across Washington State, and he knows some he's hiked that before. He was on episode 40 of the podcast, and he was really wondering, because he's been out in some of those really remote areas in, like, the Pusatan in eastern Washington, Idaho, where there's some grizzly bears and, you know, stuff like that. But he wants to know, like, what do you think? Do you have an opinion on what the wildest part of our state is?
You know, I don't think there's any place in Washington that's really that wild, but I've heard that there are grizzlies already up in the Cascades. Now, I've never seen them. I don't know if it's true, but I've had people tell me, yeah, Dave, we've seen them, and we were there when they released them. So, you know, I can't confirm that, but I do know some of my friends say, yeah, they have seen them. And I have had, actually, I know two people that have been killed by grizzlies, and I know four people that have been attacked. But they were all private owners that do what I do. And one of them was Animals of Montana, had one of their employees killed, and Predators in Action down in Southern California, up in Big Bear, had one of their relatives killed in a picture session. Then I have a friend in Ohio that got attacked by two grizzlies and is lucky to be alive. And also I have a friend here in Washington, Southern Washington, that his bear put him in the hospital for a couple weeks. But so bears a little different, a little unpredictable. I'm not a real expert on bears, but my friends are.
Yeah. Well, no, it was just more about, like, a wild area. You know, I mean,
You
know, there's so many different aspects to our state. You know, with the Olympics, with the North Cascades.
Yeah, don't get between a mother and her babies. I think that's the biggest thing I can tell you there. And don't try to get close to them. There's no reason to try to get close to them. Just watch them from afar, you know.
Well, he also wants to know, what about the history, like some of the wolf hunts? What do you think about that?
You know, I think what happened was I think that maybe some of the wolf releases came a little bit early. And the thing that we're always worried about, it's such a thing to juggle. So listen to this. You have wolves loose, right? And the ranchers are all worried and complaining because they make their living with their cattle, but they graze their cattle on public lands. So that's like the dilemma there. It's like, hey, can't you do something to, you know, protect your animals and make them a little safer? But I understand that whole dilemma too. They, you know, those guys, they do that for a living. The other thing is sportsmen hunters, when it comes to wolves, right? And especially in Idaho, Montana, where they're trapping them and they're killing them. They're shooting them. And actually, I've seen pictures that people have showed me at sportsman shows. Now, we'll be at a sportsman show in Montana next week. And these guys show me pictures of packs, and some of them have a lot of wolves in them. And they said they'll come up and say, Dave, they say there's none here, but I want to show you what I want to show you my pictures. And they show me, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, you know. So with sportsmen, this is my take on that. You know, if you took all the money that sportsmen give to the to conservation, it's huge. I mean, it's way more than the federal government could ever do. Our sportsmen are actually some of the biggest conservationists alive, and those guys are keeping things pristine and making sure that things are in balance and things are in check, and they love the outdoors. And if you want to, you want to change a kid's life, you take him into the woods with you, and you're going to change his life forever. You go on a trip with your grandma, your grandpa, your mom, or your dad, and you go camping, it's going to change your lives. I mean, put down the iPhone. Come on. Get outside and see how wonderful, like, amazing nature is with the trees that clean our air and the ground that cleans our water. And, I mean, and we don't even have to pay for it, but we can mess it up. And that's why I think sportsmen are so, our sportsmen are so important, because those guys put billions of dollars into our economy and into wildlife. They love the wildlife. They love the outdoors. And so would I shoot a wolf? I don't want to go there, but I tell you, I know where the money comes from. Let's put it that way. And it's a sportsman.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, shout out to Steve Rinella with Meat Eater. He has an excellent podcast and talks about that nonstop. And it's really good information.
Hey, please rate and review the show. I love hearing the feedback. Also, this show is brought to you by Rivertime Brewing Company in Darrington, Washington, where their motto is beer at an appropriate pace. Get $1 off your first pint. Tell them the Cascade Hiker Podcast sent you. That's right, I got you a deal. Go check them out. Darrington, Washington, Rivertime Brewing Company. Also, this episode is brought to you by Hiker Trash. Go to wearehikertrash.com. Check out the hats, the shirts, the stickers, and the tattoos. Hiker Trash is a pretty cool name for hikers, especially in the long-distance hiking world. Hiker Trash just means a community. Hiker Trash know each other. They're friends. They've been through a lot on the trail together. So get a shirt and represent Hiker Trash. wearehikertrash.com. Thanks, sponsors. Back to the show.
Jeff Kish had one other question. He was really curious about the social life of cougars, because he said you often hear about their largely solitary animals, but we've seen some pictures, trail cams with these almost like a pack of cougars. And
yeah, it may be a mother with her young babies, or her babies that are, you know, about a year old. They'll stay with the mother. They'll stay with the family. Or it could be breeding season, but usually when you hear the big screams, that's just the females. When they're in heat, they scream really loud. And they'll scream for days and days and days. And so most of the time when you hear that screaming, that sounds like kind of like a kid screaming. It is a cougar. You know, the males have a whole different sound to them. It's more of a kind of a roaring kind of sound that they make. But every cougar has a different sound.
So you think it would be probably rare then to see that multiple cougars together then in the wild?
Yeah, I think you're pretty lucky if you do. I mean, what an amazing thing to be able to see that. I've never seen anything like that in the wild. And so that's so cool that those guys get out there and they see that stuff.
Well, it is something that is kind of cool in the hiking community and the hunting community. You see some of these animals and really it's like a notch in your boot. You know, it's like, oh yeah, man, I saw bobcat and a cougar and the bears and stuff, and here we are right here in Anacortes, Washington. We got five cougars over there and these wolves. I've never seen a wolf. I thought I did one time, but I'm not sure. After seeing them here today, I think I probably did.
You know, people always ask me, are there cougars on Fidalgo Island? And I say, yeah, there are. You better believe it. They're in cages, but they're here.
Look it up. All right. Well, Vicki Wallace wanted to know, what is the best advice if you counter when you encounter some of these animals, either the cougars or the wolves, and you have your dog with you?
Oh, boy, that's the one thing. You know, I used to take my cougar out on a leash for walks. You know, I mean, when you get animals, first, you make stupid mistakes. And I would never do that now because there's no way I could hang on to them if something ever happened. I could not hang on to a cougar if it got startled like that. But I think more than not, you know, if you have a medium to big-sized dog, you know, cougars will just run. They'll run up a tree and hide. Is it because the cougar, you know, the cougar could very easily take on a few dogs and kill them all. They're so powerful. I mean, when you touch one, it's like touching a piece of steel with a fur wrapped around it. So there's no doubt in my mind that a cougar could easily kill a couple, two, three dogs. But they just don't want to bother with it. They run up a tree and that's when they get shot, you know. So, but that's their defense. They just don't want to fool with that. So I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, I think you're better off to have a dog with you than not.
And what about the reaction with the wolves in the same scenario?
The wolves? You know, I don't know. Boy, that's a good question.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I'm not real sure how the wild wolves would react. I would think they would have a tendency to stay away, but you would not want your dog to run towards them. Because you remember, they hunt in packs. And I'm telling you, some of the things I've seen them do, it's like totally would blow your mind. Because when they hunt in sequence together, it's a hunt and a half. And I've seen it here with mine, and it's indescribable. When you see one of the cats jump up and grab a bird out of mid-flight that flies across the pen, or you see a wolf do something that you thought would be like, there's no way an animal could do something like that. Or you see them hunt together and it's like one mind doing one thing. That's the part that just would just like, it's amazing. And you know, almost every day when I do that, it's like looking over the edge of the Grand Canyon for the first time, and that feeling you get, I still get that feeling right here all the time. I get that feeling when I see these animals do amazing things, or when I go in and I get to, you know, they come up and love on me. I tell you what, it's an amazing thing. I wish everybody could do it, but the laws here are getting stricter and stricter. And there's no public contact with our cats at all because it's the law.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Well, Mark Ulmer had an interesting question. We kind of touched a little bit about the wolves coming back to nature. He wanted to know, what do you think about the programs to reintroduce wolves?
Well, I think it's a shame that you reintroduce them and then you kill them. Yeah. I kind of don't get that part. But I think that's a real question that's going to be hard for anyone to come up. You know, our fish and wildlife people here in Washington State are really, really good people. And they really care about, you know, nature and wildlife too. And there's only so many of them. But my interactions with them have all been just so good. I mean, I have such a deep respect for them. That is one question that I don't know anybody that's got the answer to that one. It's like the ranchers and the wolves are going to have to learn to get along, or the wolves are going to have to go. And already, this is recent, one of the fish and wildlife people that is in charge of tracking wolves told me that they're watching them all head back for Canada. So isn't that interesting?
And that's where they're coming from originally, right? They're transplanting them from there?
Well, you know, that's a really kind of bizarre thing. Now, the wolves, we know the wolves that we have here at Predators of the Heart are some of the best bloodlines in the world. But the deal is that what the experts are saying is there's probably no real wolves left on the northern continent. You see, we really don't know. Maybe some Arctic wolves. But, you know, as things evolve and wolves breed with other animals, and just the whole breeding a wolf with a dog thing is kind of weird to me, but it's been done before. And I don't know if that would occur naturally in nature. I know in a pack, like with us, we can only have one girl in with a number of boys, because if you put two girls together, they're going to kill each other. That's why in a confined area, you can't put two girls together, but you can put like 10 boys and they all get along, you know, like a basketball team, but you put in one girl or too many and you're going to come in and one of them's going to be dead or they're both going to be hurt really bad.
Well, kind of going off that too, Jerry Riss, he wanted to ask, do you often get questions from people that maybe they don't know a whole lot about what they're talking about? And, well, like me, but obviously every question comes from that point. But he's saying, like, you know, people that don't think that wolves and cougars and maybe even grizzly bears even have a place in our natural areas of Washington State.
Yeah, I know there are people like that. The words I would say to describe that are just like, I can't say on any podcast. You know, yeah. It's like, how could you even think that? Hey, you know, there's a lot of nature out there still. There's a lot of people that love nature. And, you know, you're not here for them. You know, and they live here. And, you know, the pattern never changes. It's always us going into their territory and messing things up, and it's been that way ever since settlers first came in. So I say just learn to live with it. I mean, if you don't want to live in the country around animals, then stay in the city. Come on, you know, move into a place where they don't have anything but house cats or whatever. Move into a condo, but don't try to go into the wild and change it and start killing everything and making a big deal because you see a coyote run across your property. Do you know that the federal government actually, they've got a program called Animal Services, and you can look this up. And there's been, a couple years ago, I remember they killed 70,000 coyotes. They put M4s in the ground, and the animals come up and pull the string and get a face full of cyanide. This isn't like secret stuff. You can just go on, and at night you would never know how many guys the government already has out there, federal hunters, that come in and try to keep populations down in areas. And you may never see them because they're dressed up in camo and they're at night with their night vision and scopes. But they're there, I'm telling you. So, the feds try to keep a handle on it with Animal Services. But don't make a big deal out of a coyote in your neighborhood or, you know, come on.
Well, it's funny you bring up the coyote because I just got finished reading a book called Coyote America. And, man, it is great. I actually got it on Audible right off my phone there, so I didn't really read it. But man, exactly what you're talking about. It went through the whole history of coyotes in America, and yeah, how many thousands and thousands of coyotes have been killed with the poisons and whatnot, especially back in the 50s, and it's just amazing. Balu Hiker wanted to say he would love to hear about their current migrations. So, like wolves, you know, you said they're kind of going up north. What about cougars? Because you do hear a lot about some of these animals kind of coming closer to towns.
You know what? I can't really speak to that issue very well, but I can tell you that every Friday night we let all of our animals out, and they come back on Monday morning.
Yeah. Well, hopefully your neighbors don't hear that one.
No. You'd be in so much trouble.
No, that's a joke. Okay. Chris Wheeler wanted me to ask, does it bother you when I just brought up the whole hunting aspect? Does it bother you to think about people killing wolves and cougars, and here you are with some loving animals that you care for?
No, because, you know, because there's so many people are as different as can be, and, you know, I have to respect the opinions and thoughts of others. And I know that most of the hunters and are real conservationists, and they're not trying to mess things up, you know. And I'm not a sports hunter like that, but I tell you what, I have some deep respect for some guys that are really savvy on nature and really get out there. And some of these guys that are out there with nature all the time, man, they can tell you stuff about animals that you never even would imagine. And so what an experience to, kind of hang out with those guys. And I have before. I've hung out with them and heard the stories, but, does it bother me? I would rather they didn't, but you know what? I'm a realist as well, and I know that, you know, that's that happens, and I got to respect those guys. And I'd rather my neighbors have guns than not.
I'm sure they do. What about? So I just kind of want to wrap up with a couple questions about you take your animals to shows. Like for instance, you said you're going to be coming up down at the Puyallup,
yeah,
for a big show. What do you tell people that maybe might surprise them about your wolves?
I think the biggest surprise of all is that there have been times when we'll ask somebody to come up on this stage and we actually put them in the cage with a wolf. And we watch that big 130-pound massive animal jump up and lick them in the face. Then you know that, man, there's something really, really special about those animals. And you know, I have a friend of mine in Chicago that had one of the biggest animals ever on record, wolf. Its name was Odin. And we actually have some of Odin's line. And Odin actually escaped from his enclosure while they were transporting him from one to another. And they had kind of already had all their security in line. And my friend John had to give the order to have that animal shot. And it died in his arms. They shot it 5 times. And Odin died with his head in the lap of my friend. And it's my friend just wept his eyes out over this deal. But they knew that that he was an aggressive animal and they had no choice. They had to do what they did. And so, anyways, he showed me a picture that he had of all of his buddies a few days later standing around a campfire. And I saw the picture with my own eyes. And right next to those guys, a silhouette in the smoke, an unmistakable silhouette of Odin. It was unmistakable. And so, you know, do I think there's something really special about those animals? Yeah, I think there is. And if you are messed up, you know, I was watching my animals react to you. And you know, sometimes people go back there and things really get freaked out. And my big alpha wolf that you saw would just go crazy if someone else. But when you walk back there, he's really calm. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that you're an okay guy. Because if, like, you are messed up, they know. They see things we don't see, and that's the other amazing thing about those animals. I can tell you, they notice everything. If my elderly mother walked out here and in front of those cougars, they would know that she was the old one. And that's why the Eskimos say that the wolf and the caribou are one, because it's a caribou that feeds the wolf, but it's a wolf that keeps the caribou strong by killing the sick and the old. The herd gets stronger. And with the amazing transformation that we've all seen in Yellowstone over the last 2 decades, where the wolves have actually changed the course of the rivers. And go online and watch that video. It's absolutely amazing. It's called a trophic cascade. Some of the things we're learning about how nature works from the top down like that is absolutely amazing. That they realize that the wolves came in and killed some animals, but they gave life to so many more, because now all the fauna grew back and the banks of the rivers actually stabilized because they weren't being trampled over by the hoofed animals like the caribou, the elk, the moose. And now the beavers came back, the otter came back, the birds are back, all the little animals that live in the grass came back. The coyotes, were killed and ran off. And the park is flourishing, and that's all because of one animal they put back into the park that actually saved Yellowstone and made it such a beautiful place. Now the trees are growing like they never have before, and things are getting back to normal, but some of the animals are crossing over the line and not coming back because they're getting shot or moving on, but
Fences out there.
No fences, yeah.
what about the cougars? What do you tell people about the cougars that kind of surprise them? Being able to carry a 600-pound animal.
They used to be one of the widest distributed animals across the whole United States and even down into South America, Central America. They're our legacy. That's our great cat. And they're not going to hurt people, you know, so we need to, you know, really respect the animals that we have. You know, that's what I would say.
No, that's
good. Amazing.
Yeah, I like that. What about how could people like get a hold of you and find you?
Well, just write it on a small note to me, like maybe a 50 or 100, and mail. No, no, you can look on our website, predatorsoftheheart.com, and then my phone number's on there. You can call me personally, and like we're not like huge company. We're not a big, but we are the biggest traveling show in the state now, and we have been for years. And our desire is to be able to go to more schools and to share wildlife with kids, because, you know, that's when they're going to really, really change, is when they see it close up. If they're looking at a picture on an iPhone, oh, what a terrible thing. I mean, it's great that they can do that, but there's nothing like seeing it and touching it and getting close up to it. There's nothing like it, and it'll change your kids' lives.
Well, I tell you what, just watching, like you talked about the alpha male over here, mm-hmm. the other wolves that we saw in the cages, I've heard people say before, like, oh, I'd love to have a wolf as a pet or whatever. And when you watch these things, they don't look like fun, like, pets for your house. I mean, they're very they almost have, like, a stalking aspect to their the way they, you know, hang out.
Yeah, you know, they're very predictable what they are, and they'll always give you – they'll usually give you a warning. But, you know, they're a social animal, too. They need to be with another animal. So when somebody does sell a wolf, they need to ask you a few questions. And the questions they're going to ask you, if they're legit people, do you have small kids? If you do, you're not going to get one. Do you live in a place where it's legal? If you don't, you're not going to get one. Do you have containment? If you don't, you're not going to get one. So those are, like, three of the questions that if they don't ask you, I wouldn't buy one from them. And I'd only, if they cost you $3,000 to $5,000 and you want one bad enough and you save up and you have a place for it and you match all the criteria, make sure you buy from a guy who will be your mentor for a couple years, because it takes a couple years to learn the protocol. It's a real learning curve. It's not, some people say it's the best dog I've ever had, and I'm thinking, you didn't have a wolf.
Well, what about, you know, speaking of the wolves, you have something that you kind of described to me that that people can actually come out here and kind of almost run with the wolves. What can you describe that and tell people how they can do that?
Yeah, we do a wolf encounter out here where we actually, the people come in and we bring in about maybe like between 30 and 40 at a time, people. And they all sit down. We have benches out here and we start fires. And then we let the wolves out with the people, maybe a pack of 10. And they just come in and they start jumping on people and loving them. But you have to remember now, to get them like this, this is the way that happens, is that they're pulled from their mother at only 10 days old. You know, they're selectively put together, and with 10 days old, we pull them from the mother and we bottle feed them, and several times around the clock. And it's very expensive and it takes a long time. Like the last time I did it, you know, I had help for just a couple weeks and it cost me $3,000. And then the formula was probably $1,000. So it's really expensive process to go through. They're really different. Their nutritional needs are different than a regular dog's. And that's how we get them to be like that. So we know the ones we let out, we know that they're really bulletproof, that, you know, they've been around people and nobody's going to get hurt. Because just one kid getting hurt is not worth everything I do.
And how do people sign up for that?
Just go to our Facebook page and just watch it. And we're going to be shortly, what we're trying to do right now is we're trying to raise some money to build 3 1-acre enclosures for photography and for wolf encounters like that, which is going to be really cool. And once we get that up and running, then we'll probably be a little more open. We'll probably do a program with Airbnb for their experiences and things like that. But as far as like ever being open to the public and being a huge deal out here, we'll never be that, because we don't have the money and I'm getting too old and I just, you know, that's not what we do.
Yeah, well, that's understandable.
Yeah.
But it is really cool, and it was a great experience having me out here. I do appreciate it, and thanks for coming on the podcast, Dave.
Thank you, man. This has been a blast.
Okay, that's the show. Thanks a lot for listening to the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Send me an email, Rudy@CascadeHikerPodcast.com. I love the feedback. Also, hit me up on Facebook, North Cascade Hikers,
sweet
my
like
Facebook
honey
page.
On a heart
Twitter,
you were
capital
fine
N
like
underscore
wine
capital
sunshine.
C for Cascade
I feel
Hiking,
you coming
N
on
underscore Cascade
could never
Hiking
be
on Twitter,
could never
and
be wrong.
Instagram
see
is North Cascade underscore
dance,
Hiker.
Playing
so
man
pretty simple to find
in
me on social
dress,
media.
So come
you can also just leave a comment
song,
on the show. So I try to give you plenty of ways to get a hold of me. Do so. I want to hear from you. Thanks again for listening to Cascade Hiker Podcast.
I would leave this world for a beautiful girl if I could.